As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. People, I am, as always, overjoyed to be here and be given the opportunity to talk to you about the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. And we constantly have so many things to talk about. I've keyed in on one thing that I want to talk about because for several days now, we've been talking about the horrific behavior of young people. But now I want to discuss immigration and some of the things that are going on in our country and the mindset of people who want to leave their country so badly that they put themselves in jeopardy. And that there has been a change in the attitude and the thinking of Americans related to how we want to deal with immigrants, despite the fact that they're willing to sacrifice their lives in order to get here. And what do we do with the people who engage in human trafficking to the extent that they do not respect or appreciate the lives of the people that have paid them in order to get them into the country? You know, here we have a semi-full of 100 individuals who paid some type of money to an organization to get them into the country. And these people don't have enough decency to provide them with a truck that has some kind of climate control in it or provide them with water. And that the owner of the truck and the driver of the truck would try to suggest that they had no knowledge of what's being transported. You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, I don't even have any experience as a truck driver. But I do know that when you carry a load that is squared off, that is stacked properly, that you know what is being hauled in your truck sometimes without anybody telling you based on the way your truck reacts. So it would be hard-pressed for you to tell me as a driver that you could have 100 people in your truck, moving about in your truck, and not know that you have something alive in your truck versus boxes. And so it is interesting that, you know, these owners of the truck, the drivers of the truck, would even try to justify their knowledge, their lack of knowledge related to what was in that vehicle. You know, if you rent a truck that costs you over $100,000, you're going to have some knowledge of that truck is going to be used for. And if you're driving a truck, I just cannot believe that you're going to drive a truck without having knowledge of what's in it. So you're telling me that somebody can pile all kinds of things in a truck and you're not going to even open it up, or you're not going to demand to know what you're carrying so that you know what kind of risk you're putting yourself at. So it angers me that there are people in our society who live under the radar, who are willing to take advantage of people's need and desire to get away from their country to make a living in the United States. And that we, as a country of immigrants, refuse to have any empathy for these people and what they're going through and what they're trying to get away from. No person would put their lives at risk if there wasn't something terrible to get away from in their own country. And we need to come to understand that these people come to the United States for a reason. And when they come here, they're not looking for the best jobs in the world. They're just looking for a job. And it creates a sadness in my heart when Americans talk as though they're willing to do the jobs that most of these immigrants find themselves doing. And we know that is not the case. We know that most Americans born in this country are not going to go in the fields and work in the fields. And if these people were not available to do that, our economy would be at risk. We wouldn't want to have to pay the amount we would have to pay for apples, strawberries, berries of any kind, if Americans, born Americans, had to be the ones to go out there and do the work, even if you could pay them to do it. So we need to be honest about immigration and what these people are going through to get here and stop fooling ourselves that somehow or another we can send all of them back and our economy would get better without them. Let's have a real honest conversation about what's going on here and recognize that all sides of this situation need to pay attention. And we need to be honest about what is going on and the sacrifice that some of these people are making in order to get into our country. Tyrone, what is your thought about this horrific event where you have a truck driver bringing in over 100 people, 9 people die in the sweltering heat, more may possibly die, and he suggests that he has no knowledge of what he was carrying into the country?
Well, it's really unfortunate that something like this has happened. First of all, we don't realize how good we have it, that we have to be smuggled into another country. But it's really a disgrace. It's all about money. It's all about money, and unfortunate that, you know, it's something that's bad. But that's all about money. And it's about, for the immigrants, it's about an opportunity to come into a somewhat free country. I've had the opportunity to travel the world, and we just don't know how good we have it. We just don't know how good we have it. And so, but it's an unfortunate situation. And, you know, you got somebody who's willing to take the risk. Yeah, they knew the people were there. And they've done that. They've probably been doing it for years. But the day they got caught, or the other day that they got caught, and it's unfortunate. But these things happen.
You know that you and I both know that we have worked hard enough and gone through enough training to elevate ourselves to a certain level. And the level that these people have to work at is one that most Americans have left behind them. I remember when I was growing up that they had buses to take African-Americans to the orange groves, and those buses ran through African-American communities picking up people who were willing to go out to the orange grove and pick up to pick oranges. That opportunity is non-existent in Orlando as we speak. And well, if it were, most young people would not get on the buses, even if they did come through.
Absolutely.
So, you know, most of the fruit being picked is being picked by immigrants, people who will work for a lot less than minimum wage, and people suggest that they want to send these people back as though somehow Americans are going to run toward those jobs.
No, they're not interested in sending them back because they can pay them low wages, which they do. But one thing about those immigrants, they see this as an opportunity. While we take this for granted, they see this as an opportunity. And yeah, they may be picking cotton and picking fruits and whatever, but they won't be doing that very long. They'll do it for a couple of years. All of them stay in a house together, and then they begin to work together. They buy one house and two houses and five houses, and then they go into our communities, into the black community, and they set up stores and bars and hotels and whatever else. And before you know it, they're reaching back to help each other, and they've elevated. They're in establishing relationships with banks. Are we still there?
Yes, yes.
Okay, because I'm getting all these texts. I'm sorry, I thought we were disconnected. Yeah, these people are willing to lose their lives for the opportunity that we take for granted every day. And like I say, they may do that for a couple of years, but before you know it, they're up and running.
All right, we're going to go. Joyce, how are you doing this evening, Joyce?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Joyce, you are in close proximity to this, and you deal with a lot, are aware of a lot of immigrants who find their way into that area. What are your thoughts about people preying on these people who just want to come to America so badly that they're willing to pay top dollar to get into a vehicle that very well may kill them before it's all over?
Well, you know, there's two sides to this, a flip side of it. And the reason why I say that is because that some of the people who are willing to take those type of chances are people that are not willing to go through the system the right way. Because now what they do have that people do is they have what they call a work visa, where they go back and forth over the border, that they walk over, catch buses, they go to work, they come back, they call them work visas. So there is a right way to do things and there a wrong way. And it's just like drug trafficking. They are doing people trafficking, and it's against the law, you see. And I don't support that whatsoever. But I do know that there are work visas where things can be done legitimately. I've seen people the workers, they get out of Cadillac cars, and then they change shirts, and then they sit on the side to be picked up. Now, that's against the law out here, too. You cannot be picking up workers the way that they do in front of Home Depot or whatever. It used to be just outrageous because the people, the businessmen that come pick them up, they get on a truck, then they take them to do they do cement work. They do excellent work. But those are the ones that are here, and they don't do it. And they come to stores. I used to work at a store north, and they have they keep their money in backpacks. I mean, loads of just rolls of money. So there are good ways, there are bad ways. It's just something that needs to be weighed out. But I think that our system, our people are breaking the law. They're feeding into it, and they know right from wrong. So to make this right, you got people such as that guy who was driving the truck. You better believe he knew what he had in there. He knew his cargo. So I think that's totally wrong. It's just human nature. It's just totally wrong.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me that he would just even try to suggest that he didn't know what was in that truck just by the shifting of people. You can't put people in a truck and they just stay still and don't move around while you're driving, because it's just a dangerous situation to put people in. Dee, I know you know more about this than any of us. What's the possibility that that driver didn't know that there were people in his truck?
Well, good evening, everybody. And, Jane, I appreciate your show, and I appreciate the preview of what the subject is going to be about, because they gave me the opportunity to think about the question that you just asked me. And the answer is slim to none. It's very unlikely that the driver didn't know what was in that truck. But, I know at my terminal, the security guard, once it reached this destination, the security guard opens the back of the truck. But, you know, a lot of times in the rural country, the semi would get off the exit and take a back road somewhere to where the destination could have been isolated. But again, I doubt very seriously that they didn't know what was in the back of that truck. In fact, that's a good excuse to have. I mean, because who's to question that unless they have some documentation? There's a logbook that actually has to be signed and pertaining to the contents of the truck, because it could be hazardous materials and stuff like that. So the logbook would tell all of that, and the manifest. Usually a driver would not pick up a truck without a manifest, knowing what he's hauling, because if he gets stopped by the DOT, he has to be accounted for what he's transporting. Now, the last thing is that the despicable act of profiteers taking advantage of other humans' desperation. And that's all that is. Profiteers taking advantage of people in their desperate needs and wants. Profiteers come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Sometimes there are profiteers in the clergy taking advantage of people's desperate situations. And so, it's modern day slavery. We know of noblemen back in the 1700s, 1800s that were profiteers, and any kind of way that they can find a way to make a profit in their elite status, they still find a way, and that's all that is. So, as despicable as it is, you know, that's the outcome of that situation.
But you and I both also know that it would be impossible, or just I couldn't think of a rhyme or reason why you would drive a truck and not be given access to opening that truck up. I mean, you can't drive a truck and not have the ability to open it if something were to happen, especially with the fact that you're carrying humans. I mean, if you were, you know, exactly what happened, in this case, the truck was opened and one of the persons escaped and went to the Walmart and asked for water. So obviously he had a way to open that truck up once it was locked. So how can he then turn around and say he didn't know? And the shifting of weight, you know, speak to that. You know, when you have boxes, if they're stocked properly, they're not going to move as long as you don't do any serious turning or any sudden turning motions with the vehicle itself. But people are not going to remain without moving, because they can't be stacked, and their feet, they're going to want to move from one place to the other, constantly changing the distribution of the weight. And I don't, and mind you, I don't know nothing about stacking boxes, and I know enough to know that, right?
Well, you know you're right, but and again, that was just the opportunity to deny that he knew what was in the truck. I mean, if you get caught with your pants down, you're going to say that you know nothing about it, and that's what happened. When it all comes out in the wash, they're going to find that this driver works for a certain agency, and the agency has a history of doing things such as these. So it's just going to come out in the wash. The initial denial is just that. It was just, that's just something that you said at the time when you're being caught. But he knew was in the truck, and so did the owner.
Cassie, you know, we talk a lot on the show about being believers and so on. But don't you have to have a lot of sympathy or empathy for people who are willing to put themselves at risk like this? I don't believe you could find one person in America that would load themselves or pay to be loaded up into a semi and be taken to Mexico. I mean, obviously, there's a reason why these people are willing to sacrifice their lives to get here. There must be something terrible going on in their own country.
Good afternoon, everyone. And yes, possibly that's what happened. We don't know what the issue was. But I just want to speak on the part about the driver not knowing what was in the back of the 18-wheeler. Now, my husband is a truck driver, and he's drove all over the world, and I've ridden with him on several occasions. And if there's something in the back of that 18-wheeler, you know about it. There's no ifs, and or buts about it. You know if something is in the back of the trailer because of the way that it moves. When it's light and there's nothing in it, you can make all kind of turns in the truck, and the trailer will swerve so quickly because it's so light. But when there are items in the back, it will not swerve the same way. So you can tell if there is something in the back of that trailer.
Yeah, and it just, you know, you literally have to believe people are crazy when you make that kind of statement. And the thought that you'd be willing to carry people and know what the temperature of that truck is, looked like you would know at some point, if you cared about humans, that you would need some kind of cooling system. But obviously, they just don't care enough about those people to try to make anything comfortable. They're just carrying cargo.
Well, either he was paid off to go look in the back, or he was in desperate need of money and was in cahoots with the people who were doing the transporting of those people to the next state or country or whatever it was. But he played some part, because you're not just going to jump in a truck and drive it without knowing what's in the back, or even think, okay, so say he didn't know what was back there. Your conscience and your spirit is going to tell you that something is not right. You know, so was he desperate for money that he was doing this? You know what I'm saying? So whatever the price is that he has to pay, that's what he has to pay, because he knew that there was something funny going on. You're not just going to take a truck somewhere and not know what's in the back of it. And like you talked about the cooling system, some of those trucks do have the cooling system in the back where it keeps, depending on what they're carrying, it keeps that cool back there. They have the refrigerator. They have all different types of trailers. And if it was of that important where they wanted to make sure those people were okay, they would have put that inside of there to keep those people cool. But I don't know. You know, I just saw a little tad bit of it, but I don't know the details of it. But, yeah, something fishy was really going on with that.
Ms. Hooks, what are your thoughts about the way these people are willing to put lives at risk for money, and the fact that these people so desperately want to come to America that they're willing to risk their lives in order to get here?
Good evening, everybody. You're right on both cases, because from what I read, what I gathered from it, it sounds like to me this man might have been paid to deliver the load. And I'm not saying that he knew that people were in the back, because it says that he didn't know that there were people in the back until he got out to urinate and heard banging. So, but I would think without a doubt that he was paid to deliver a load. Now, whether he knew or not, I can't really say just from the article. It didn't seem as though he knew. But he knew once he stopped and heard the banging. And then I think he was terrified, so that's why he called his wife before calling 911. But I do believe immigrants want the land of freedom and that they will do anything. And it has been shown over and over in different situations that they have done any and everything to get over here. So, that's my take, what I've gathered from the article that I read.
All right, we're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation about the plight of immigrants and their willingness to do almost anything to get to our country. Just a thought, James T. Deshay. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's James D. Deshay, the number 2.com. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Regina, you know, you and I being educators and always talking about, you know, how do we keep the moral, increase the moral fiber of young people. But here we're dealing with people who are willing to stuff human beings in the back of a hot truck in the area that is the hottest in our country and not provide them with food or water or cooling system. You know, where are, how barbaric can we be?
A few weeks ago, I was involved with a Simple Justice Black Lives Matter think tank. And in that think tank, we did not discuss just black lives. The topic was migration and immigration. And one of the things we talked about was the push-pull theory where immigrants are pushed to come over here and we pull them over here, luring them with better life. That issue that just happened negated that theory. They needed to come over here. They wanted to come over here for a better life, but the pull that we had to bring them over here, it was not real. It was not what they thought it was going to be. And it was barbaric, as you said, inhumane. And whoever was responsible, and I do believe that there was someone past the truck driver who was responsible. As the article said, yes, the truck driver is in custody, but some hands are going to roll. This extends very far past just that truck driver. So, I will pray for those immigrants as they were coming over here in search of a better life, and it is not what happened. And I'm just so sorry that that happened to them.
And I think you're right. And I would go even further and say that the owner of that truck as well had knowledge, because you just don't rent or give a $200,000 plus dollar truck to anybody without knowing what that truck is going to be used for. And so, obviously, somebody was willing to pay him above the market value. And when anybody pays you more than they're required to, you know that something is going wrong or is not right. And so it's easy to know that both the driver and the owner of that truck were in collusion with somebody, and that these people just don't value the lives that they were carrying. And it looks like to me, even if you were in that kind of business, bringing those people to whatever destination you were taking them to would be important enough to keep them alive. Tyrone, I mean, what kind of businessman wants his product to arrive dead?
Well, it looks like people just don't care, man. It's all about money. It's about making money. I often think about, like we're talking about this situation, what about doing the slave trade when Africans were taken from Africa? And we think that was humane. And I'm not comparing that, but we just have some cold-blooded people in the world, and it's all about money. And I don't know what we can do about that. Go on.
And the way you explain it, and I think you justified to make a comparison, because those people were willing to stack people on top of each other below deck, and when they were getting ready to run out of food, they were willing to throw their cargo overboard in order to save food. So obviously, we have not grown as a society. We're still willing to trade human bodies and humans for money. And so it doesn't speak much of our humanity at all or our civilization.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. It's an unfortunate situation. But people are greedy, and people do what they need to do. And those poor people are looking for opportunities. And a lot of people come to this country under those conditions. And, you know, I mean, this is we may not look at the United States as a land of opportunity, but it really is. It really is. And that's why those foreigners come here, because they know that in a couple of years they're going to get up on their feet, and they're going to be owning lots of things, material things, and accumulating wealth. It's an unfortunate situation, and like someone said, heads going to roll, but that's not going to stop anything. They're still going to continue to do it, because there's only a small percentage of people who actually get caught, and they flash
right.
Their
this happens every day. This is every day,
all day long and night. Yes.
Well,
and these people paid too, James. We got to realize that they weren't rounded up the way that the Africans were and the slaves were. These people paid dearly, and their kinfolks that's already here in the United States paid for them too. Now, what they also do a lot too, and they really do this quite a bit. I mean, they just got caught. This is done every day, because what they do, they put them off in houses. And what they in your neighborhood, they can be here in your neighborhood in these nice communities, and you have no idea, you know. And how they find them is that, you know, they go in at nighttime, they maneuver, and they disperse at night and everything. And they have been keeping these landlords be renting houses, empty houses and spaces. So it's such a big racket, so it's unreal. It's just unreal, and it's like they say, it's inhumane, but this is what's going on, and people pay a lot for freedom. You know, you remember in Haiti, over in Florida down there, how they would try to come over, and the only sick thing about it is that they wouldn't even bring them here in the United States. They just keep them there in the water. But you have people that pay very, very dearly for this, and it's just really sad. I think you can be more controlled They do try to stop a lot of it at the border because they be under the trucks, under big trucks and the whole bit. You'd be surprised. So it's not even the tunnels and stuff that they're going through. They transport them. But the bad thing about it now is that it's just too hot to travel in the desert and in vehicles like this. This type of traveling should be done if they're going to do this type of – it would be in the winter months. But in the summertime, you better believe that truck driver knew, and the person who owns the truck, they knew. And where they was going, they knew too. So I hope they start getting a whole bunch of them to talk because there's a big racketeering going on.
Ms. Cheryl, what are your thoughts about the comparison that that Tyrone made? In fact, that we're not getting any better, that we're still doing the same kinds of things to people, just like Joy said, maybe. These people weren't rounded up, but and they actually paid money to come because of their desire to be here. But yet people were still willing to manipulate them and put them in such heinous situations.
I think that the ones who's doing it, like you see, like in the article, you know, the truck driver, whoever paid him, or if he, whoever was all a part of it. Everything, every person was receiving something, and money was definitely involved in the situation because, I mean, I could not even begin to imagine of doing something like this or even taking a chance for no amount of money so that there's greed involved in it. And the more money that's offered out there, the more it's going to keep getting done. And, I mean, they're not thinking of the consequences. They're not thinking about, you know, they thinking that it won't happen to them, that if somebody talks them into it, man, there's not, you know, slim chances to none. You'll get caught, and it's safe. We do it all the time. Whatever's told to them, you know, at the time. And, I mean, they don't have no regards for human life because it's no way you would even think about putting this many people, more or less, in a truck packed it like that. Not at all. It's all about money. And like Tyrone said, it's not going to get no better because everybody, you know, so many people are chasing behind the dollar. And there's so much going on that it's difficult to catch every single person, although they're trying to. But, I mean, it's just it's too many of them to catch it. But like one young lady said, that once they're caught, they need the full extent of the law. You know, they have answer for it because this is not even, you would not even do this to a human being, not at all.
And, you know, the way we cry about the way animals are treated in this country, Kathy, it is just despicable that we would continue to do human beings in this fashion. And you know that there were a possibility that there were women and children along with those 100 people, that I can't imagine that all 100 of those people were just men. And that, you know, but it hurts your heart in a way. I would think, Kathy, here we're supposed to be believers and so religious that how can we send these people back home if we find out that they paid to come here? Is the fact that, you know, how treacherous that would be to send them back.
Not treacherous at all, James. This is not where they're supposed to be, and it doesn't have anything with being a Christian. It's the law, and there are things that we have to do by the law, just like I can't run a red light, police right there, and say, Mr. Officer, please don't give me a ticket. This is my 30th time, but I'm still going to do right the next time. No, it's the law. If you are a part of this country, then you are a part of this country. If you're not, then you're not supposed to be here. If you want to be here, you have to come through and go through the law and do it the correct way. And that, unfortunately, doesn't have anything with being a Christian, James. And there are so many heartless people out there that are not Christians. Those are the people that are doing these particular acts because, as someone just stated or said, is that how can that be done? I mean, a person has to not have a heart. you know, their heart has to be hardened in order for them to do that particular act. I work with an organization that works with women in sex trafficking, and trucks drive up and down the boulevard all the time. We don't know if there are women in the back of those trucks, but what we do know is that there is a time every month where they ship them in and they ship them out. So saying that to say that that man knew what was in the back of his truck, he was being paid for that. Unfortunately, he got caught. He's one of the ones that did get caught. And I believe that things are changing, because the way that the police are stinging these things up, the police are working more diligently with people, as we call them, snitches. Yeah, snitches, to stop these sex trafficking from happening, the women from being taken from these different countries and working as slaves. So there is progress going on, you guys. I mean, it may not seem like it, because this particular last couple of months have been the months where they just focus directly on sex trafficking. But all year round, people are working on trying to stop it, trying to get the girls to change their lives. But, you know, people do things for different reasons, just like that man did for that money, but he got caught. Just like those people pay that money to come over here, but unfortunately, they were just one set of the people that did not make it through.
Well, it's difficult for me to understand how we could not feel some empathy after these people have gone through this and not feel like we should make some provisions to let them stay. I mean, after going through what they went through to get here, Regina, we can't have a heart to let them stay. We're going to send them back. In Cuba, and I know everybody is aware of this, if Cubans make it to Florida, we let them stay. So why are these people any different? And why are the Haitians any different? Why are we going to send back the Haitians and these Hispanics or Latinos, but yet we let the Cubans, if they are able to reach the coast, they get to stay no matter whether they came legally or illegally? Why is that fair?
Well, I can't say that it is fair, but life is not fair. They broke the law, and they must be returned. Fortunately, they aren't being jailed. They're being returned to their home. And also, while you all were talking, the situation with the bus driver, I'm sorry, not the bus driver, but the truck driver, is so similar to the situations with young people being encouraged to peddle drugs. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much they paid that driver, and why was it that he was willing to take that risk to bring these people, knowing that the ladder is much higher going up above him. Just like with the drug dealers, these street peddlers, that's why the police don't even worry about them. That's not who they're looking for. They want the people who are really, you know, bringing it into the... So now they've got to look and see where this truck was going. It's higher up than Mr. Piles. Who got the truck from Mr. Piles? And what were they going to do with all of these people once it happened? And the people who paid for the people, what are they going to do with them? Because now they've become a part of the human trafficking.
Well, these people may have been the ones who paid for their relatives to come, and they did nothing more than pick them up to take them to their homes.
But how did they know about it?
Because they
how
paid.
How did someone know?
Tyrone, I can't get any consensus, and everybody seems to be about the law. But why is it that we let the Cubans If they make it to the coast of Florida, they get to stay. But yet we send the Haitians and the Latinos back, and that's the law. I'm still saying, why is the law different from them?
Well, here's another good example is there's only a human trafficking been going on for years, hundreds of years, and it's not going to stop. And every now and then they plan a bust to make you think that they're really working or they're at their job or they're doing what's supposed to be right. But what about all the drugs? What about all the guns that come into the United States? Every now and then they'll flash that somebody got busted bringing guns in this country or bringing drugs in this country. It's just a game. It's people don't care. Do you think? How do drugs get in our community and how do guns get into our community? And do you think they care? That's just something that's going on. It's an opportunity for us to kill each other. With the guns, it's an opportunity for us to kill ourselves with drugs. And so it's just a big game, and it's all about money. And the real people, the corporates, the people at the top, they're the ones that never get caught. It's the little bit of people. It's that driver who's going to take the rap. And they probably didn't pay him a lot of money, but he's probably broke, poor. He's trying to take care of his family, and that's what happens. But the big people at the top who are actually allowing all these drugs and guns and immigrants coming from various different countries, they never get caught, never exposed. They're not going to go to the top with this. They never do. The little man who is broke and who is poor, he's going to have to pay for this. And it's an unfortunate situation, but it's a game. And we can just look at the health care. Mr. Trump is trying to turn it into what, Trump care? You got 30 million people that's going to be out of health care, hospitalization. How many people are going to die? There are people who need these drugs or medicine or whatever they're taking. They need this. And so do you think they care? Do you think that, most of those people are going to die? And so do you think that people don't care? It's all about money.
We can take another break and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Okay.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more waves. That super world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
yet I'm lost in every. You're the first, the last, my everything.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left Him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshaies2.com. That's JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Sharon, I've still not gotten a good reason why we treat the Cubans differently than we do the Haitians and the Latinos and the Hispanics. Why is one group seen as being more acceptable and are allowed to stay, but everybody else gets sent back?
You know, I'm going to be with you because I don't know. But I don't know where, why is it that one group stay and one group gets sent back. I don't know if it has anything to do with money. It, you know, a lot of things that we do today that's done and when I say we, I don't mean, you know, everybody, is based around money. So it can be the money that's involved in keeping them here and letting them go back. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. My heart feels, too, because it's like, you know, you done gone through all of this to get, you know, here. And then what we do, we send you back. But then, on the other hand, there's laws put in place. But if the laws are put in place for one, it should be put in place and enforced for all. So why, you know, one group and not another? I couldn't even begin to imagine why. But there's some underlined reason why. And a lot of our things is motivated by money. That's the only thing that I can come up with.
Different laws and different guidelines. You got to look at that also. You have to look at that also. Different states has different laws and different guidelines that they do and how they proceed. I would like to also indicate that a lot of the jobs are not just mediocre jobs that these people are coming over getting, just a handpicked job. Here in Phoenix, we called the head of the motor vehicle was an illegal person. And when they start cracking down and getting all the employees to validate that their personnel are valid with proper visas and the whole bit, you got people who running the government, I mean, who law enforcement was illegal. So we do have an issue, and I agree with Kathy. You know, it's the law. If we just feel sorry for everybody who just come over any kind of way, like I say, they have work visas. They have day visas, day work visas, where they can come over, do their job. That's for people who pick in, and they do it on a 6 month. They have visas for 6 month personnel, but employers pay for these type of visas. So when they start breaking the law, you got to look at the head macho, which are the employees who are willing to accept this type of illegal thing. Because if they come over here and cannot find the work, they would not be so freely and risking everything to come over. Now, believe me, those people that was in that truck, they paid dearly. Most of them paid anywhere between $10,000 to $15,000 to ride over here for freedom. And this is how they are treated. And they come over here, they get dispersed in what they call a safe house, and they disperse them in different neighborhoods. And like I say, you wouldn't even know that they're there. They would be there in these homes with no running water, no toiletry or the whole bit, and they stay there until they're ready to relocate them out into society. It's just a really bad racket. And it's here in Arizona, I'm sure in California, you got it on these states like Texas, and it's a big issue. So you guys are dealing with a different type of issue than what we're doing over in the West, the Southwestern.
Joyce makes a point, though. Now, how well can you all possibly be able to pick those grapes or wine and the fruits and vegetables you all have in your state if it weren't for these immigrants?
James, I can barely hear you. I don't know if the location.
I was just saying that you all benefit greatly from these immigrants, because you all have all these wineries and have these grapefruits and oranges and vegetables. You couldn't imagine if these people didn't come over here and get that fruit.
Again, the reception is not good, so I just heard bits and pieces of what you were saying, James.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to pick at you for being so hard on these immigrants related to them not playing a vital part in the economy of California.
Why are you trying to pick at me? There's more than just Hispanics out here. There are African Americans, there are Samoans, there are Asians. They're whites, they're all types of people, and they're people under the bridges, they're people on the streets, they're people three and four families living in houses. So we're overcrowded right now. We are overcrowded. So that's just another whole round table of something to discuss and try to figure out where we would be able to put additional people, more Medicare, more GR, I think that's what it is, GR, where they give out the money and the tokens. And we don't have any more room, James. And unfortunately, it's not that our hearts are hard because of this, but if they want to come in, it's really easy to come here. All you have to do is go downtown and fill out the form and go through the process of getting your papers. And that's what they have to do. You know, they have to do that like everybody else. We pay large amount of taxes. We pay tax for everything. Sometimes I look on my receipts and I don't even know what that tax is for, but we're paying it and the money is going somewhere. So I believe that if they want to come, they have to come the right way and do the right thing and pay just like everybody else is paying. I have nothing against anyone, but if they're coming, they have to come the right way.
All right, we're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back, and we'll give everybody opportunity to have their last word.
Help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know we've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is mine. He won't
let you die. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, we really have to do some thinking about how we're going to run our country and how we're going to treat people as, you know, we move forward. And that we have to take into consideration all people have lives, or their lives have meaning, and that they deserve the opportunity to live in a place where they can make a decent wage and be treated like human beings. Tyrone, what is your final thought this evening?
This is an unfortunate situation. It's a sad situation. I know that if the government wanted to stop people from coming to this country, if the government in Mexico and any other country wanted to stop people from leaving their country, it can happen. This has been going on for hundreds of years, And like I say, every now and then they flash out with something about, you know, a few people get caught. But I don't think they're really that concerned about stopping this. And in about 2 weeks, we will have forgotten about that and moved on to something else. So I just kind of urge and suggest that we pray for the families, pray for the people. But this is not going to stop anything. This is not going to stop anything. And like I said, it's unfortunate. And the driver, he's probably broke. And everything is probably falling on him. And he really can't talk about it or tell who's really hiring him or putting him or paying him and this, that, and other, because now he'll be killed. We live in an unscrupulous society. We live in a world where there's crime, there's all kind of things going on. We live in last and evil days, and it's like every day there's something different. So we just have to just pray, people, pray. That's my final thoughts.
All right, Kathy, your final thoughts for the day.
James Deshay for president. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's my final thought.
All right, Kathy. You keep us grounded. Regina, your final thought for this evening?
I concur with everything everyone else has said. Everyone else said it so eloquently. And if I try to elaborate, I will mess it up.
So you agree that James Deshay should run for president?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Look, the White House has plenty of rooms, Kathy. We have some place to go visit. Right, y'all?
Yeah, we're going to be a part of his cabinet.
Yeah. James Deshay, for y'all, go to my Facebook page, watch it. I'm going to put it on there. James Deshay for president. Watch. I'm going to have that on there by tomorrow.
Right. Joyce, your final thought for this evening?
Well, I would like to comment the Walmart worker who really had heads up to realize that there was something wrong, to call law enforcement for them to check it out. If not, then the situation could have been way worse than what it was, you know. This is something that has not been gone, that's just happened. It happens so much every day. It's just awful the way that our system is set up, and someone with greed. And this truck driver, he's guilty, but he's afraid, like the gentleman said, he's afraid to say anything because I'm sure his family will be threatened. He probably needed the money. But we're living in situations like this, and we have to do a lot of praying, like Kathy said. Everybody well said. I just hate that the situation turned out the way that it did, but I'm grateful that it wasn't as worse than what it was.
All right. Sharon, your final thought?
I'm going to have to agree with everybody else, too. I can see, you know, everybody's point, and it's so true. I'm a person, like, you know, I've said before, I don't own a television in my house, and this is some type of news that I don't hear on a regular basis. And because of your platform, it has brought, you know, a lot of things to my attention. Now, I have heard of, you know, this going on. You know, it's hard to imagine that it's continue going on, but I can believe that it does. And it's just an unfortunate situation. And the truck driver will get the maximum penalty. And I'm pretty sure he won't say anything as who all was involved. And whoever was involved on top, they're going to continue doing what they've been doing because they know they can get away with it. My final thought.
All right, we're going to take another break and we'll come back and finish out the show.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, we talk about a subject that is horrific in nature, and we have to determine exactly how we're going to handle the people who are involved, how we're going to deal with the immigrants who sought to come to this country and would do anything to leave their country to get to a place where they could have a better life. You know, when you're thinking about your quality of life, you have to think about what is it that you need to do and what it is you need to accomplish so that you can have the lifestyle that you want. I want to encourage those of you who are interested in raising your life to a different level to visit WealthyDadSystem.com. That's WealthyDadSystem.com to see if that website can assist you in getting where you wish to be. That is WealthyDadSystem.com. WealthyDadSystem.com. Make sure you give it a look and see if it's something that you would be interested in and helping you to get where you're trying to go. Take care, everybody, and we look forward to the opportunity to have you be a part of our show tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time. We want to be a part of your life on a regular basis. So please look to add Thoughts, Love, and Reflection to your daily existence.
My father too.